Good afternoon. So good to see all of you. This is sort of getting back into the Lord speaking to me from John, just sort of meandering through the Gospel of John. This is the last part of John 13. So I'm going to pick out a few verses beginning in verse 31. I won't read all of this, but I'll read some of it. When therefore Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer, and you shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. Now I say to you also." Jesus referenced the fact that he had said these same things to the Jews. This is from John chapter 8, verse 21. He said, "Therefore again to them, I go away, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." Therefore the Jews were saying, "Surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he said, 'I am where I'm going, you cannot come.'" And he was repeatedly saying to them, "You are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said, therefore, that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Back in John 13, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus said, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Now, I love that, because remember, the chapter division here is man-made. And so he just told Peter, Peter said, "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" Because Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you can't go." He told that to the group. He told that to the Jews. He told that to now Peter. And he said, "Where I'm going, you can't go. You will follow me later." And Peter says, "Well, why can't I go with you right now? I would give my life for you." And Jesus said, "Would you give your life for me?" And he said, "A cock will not crow until you've denied me three times, but let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Your failure, Peter, doesn't diminish one bit of what I'm about to go and do for you. It hasn't changed my love and will not change my love for you at all. Remember that Jesus revealing the truth about the Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? We think it's holy and spiritual when we fail just to nurture a troubled heart, sometimes for years and years, because that seems to make it seem like we really mean it, that we're really sorry. Yet in the midst of Peter going to publicly deny him three times, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. What I need is for you to believe in God, believe also in me." Now what he prayed, he told Peter, he said, "Peter," in the upper room just before this statement, didn't he say, "Tell Peter you're going to deny me three times, but I'm going to pray that your faith won't fail." I just love that. I love the fact that Jesus is not concerned with rubbing your nose in it for the rest of your life because you didn't get it right sometimes. What he wants is for you to believe. And, let me finish this part, then I'll yak a little more. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now again, he's speaking to all of them, but he's also responding to Peter and the fact that Peter was going to deny him, and him telling Peter for his heart not to be troubled. "In my Father's house is there are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and I go prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, for where I am, there you shall be also." Now we've talked about that scripture enough to know that the word mansion is not in there. It's about an abiding place in him. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to receive you to myself. So Jesus has gone to prepare this place called in Christ. He's gone to prepare this stunning union with God in his person. And he said, and I will come again to you, and I'll receive you to myself. Then you can go where I go. But where I'm going now, you can't come. Now again, he said that to the Jews also. Where I'm going, you can't come. Now he later said, but you're going to die in your sins, because the problem is where I'm going and what I'm going to accomplish. I go to prepare a place for you, to the Jews, to his disciples, for any person and for every person. But he says, but you're going to die in your sins because you're not going to believe. But you can't go where I'm going. And he told his disciples, you can't go where I'm going. So this is the part that blew me away this morning. He said, Chuck, if they went where I was going, they would never be able to come back. If they went physically to die for their sins, they would never come back. And I would have lost them forever. I have to become them. That's why I clothe myself in their humanity. And I alone can take them to the cross. They're going to go where I'm going, but not as them. They're going to go as me. And then I can raise them up, new creation, and live in the union with me I created them for. Do you hear that, what he was saying? He wasn't saying, I'm going to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven yet, but you're going to get to go to heaven later. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You can't go and prepare a place for yourself because you're guilty of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And the price that you would pay, you'd never come back. But if I go as you, you will come back as a whole new creation. And we can live in union forever. I just think that's stunning. Read this to you. When Jesus said those words, where I go, you can't follow, you will follow later. Where I'm going to be, you're going to be also all the time and for all of eternity. Part of that's face to face with the Father, but also just the life that we live. In that statement, Jesus saw the full scope of his work. By submitting himself to our judgment, our hellish fury in our crucifying him, he would enter our death and our gloom and our brokenness and our misery and our forsakenness, and thereby strip every principality and dominion of its judgment and power play over the human race. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 2. You know, this is one of those scriptures where my soul is conflicted with uncontrollable joy and stunning sobriety. When you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And what did he do? How did he do that? Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, the Father. Who was nailed to the cross? Jesus. And so all those things that the certificate of debt said, this is Buddy Holworth. He's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this. And this is why his judgment is death, spiritual death, eternal death. This is the things that he's done. And Jesus became all that. He became that sin. He became that broken law, the certificate of death that condemned him, judged him. Jesus became all that. See, where Jesus was going, Buddy couldn't go, because if Buddy had gone there and died for his own sins, he'd have never come back. But Jesus went as Buddy and died for his sin, and Buddy came back a new creature in the union of the ages. Having nailed it to the cross, and when he had disarmed the rulers, the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Why does the enemy have any authority over humanity? Because of the certificate of debt. Because under judgment. But Jesus took that out of the way and stripped the enemy of any right to have authority over a human being, over you. He has no rights anymore. You're not under the broken law. You're not under judgment anymore. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And there is no judgment against that. Holy and blameless before God in Christ. But I just love it. I don't think I ever fully understood that clearly when Jesus said, that was this morning, man, What a time of the Lord this morning. When Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't go with me. He wasn't talking about heaven. He's talking about the place that he was going, to the cross. They can't go there. He said, I'm the only one that can do this. And I'm going to do it for you because you can't do it. Amazing. And then right in the middle of that story, there's that little thing about him saying, Peter, well, Peter, I will go. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, not only will you not die for me, you'll deny me. That's why I'm going to the cross, because all humanity has denied me. But let not your heart be troubled. I'm going where you can't go so that you can live where you never could have lived, in me, in the heavenly places, face to face with the Father, because I go to prepare a place for you. I'm the only one that can do it. Stunning.
Hallelujah word.
It is a hallelujah word. It's a dance around the church word. It's amazing to me. I know. Lord, thank you so much that your word to humanity in our brokenness, in our darkness and sin, you said, let your heart not be troubled. You can't go and do anything about it, but I go to prepare a place for you, for I refuse to live without you. Whew. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.